Father, thank you again for the joy of being your children, the joy of receiving your breath that we can be alive. We want to thank you for the joy of receiving the breath of your Holy Spirit that brought us into the new reality of what it is to be alive and to be born again as your children. And so today, Father, we're here not just because we want to be here for whatever reason. Father, we are drawn here by your Holy Spirit. We have been brought together, Father, for a divine time with you, for you to share again the credible good news of yours that you have expressed and made known through your Son, Jesus Christ. We want to thank you, Jesus, for you being the living expression of God, that we can see and know what is real and what is illusion. Because in you it's real, it's truth. So we thank you that you have given us another one just like you, the Spirit of Truth, so that we may know the way, the truth, and the life. So we receive the ministry of Holy Spirit as you take from Jesus and make it known, so that we may know what our Lord Jesus Christ has done in his death and his resurrection. We will know the power of the blood, the power of his sacrifice, that we may live in the fullness of that. So we want to thank you that you were showing us and teaching us while we here, while we live where we live, while we work where we work, the families that we're in. You are showing us a divine purpose. So we want to thank you for bringing us into this nation at this time. We want to thank you that you're going to remove all the clutter, all the junk, all the stuff that we have packed on our minds, in our hearts, into our emotions, into our sort of subconscious, and we can go deeper and deeper. And Holy Spirit, we say yes, yes to you. Let your kingdom, Jesus, let your kingdom explode within us to expose the darkness that's in us, so that we can walk in true fellowship with you, because we are children of light. And this I'm asking in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Yeah. We're looking again, continuing with that Ephesians 5, and we are at that place here where we're looking at and find out what pleases the Lord. Let me just go back to verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord, and have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, because we are now children of light, but rather expose them. And we saw there some time back when we were busy looking what Jesus was speaking, that we are the light of the world, and light exposes darkness. It exposes the plans, it exposes the secrets of darkness. Now, that's what we've been looking at. Find out what pleases the Lord. And so we know, as we looked at last week, that we can see what pleases God is light. Walk in light. What pleases God is to begin to understand whatever I'm going to do, that goodness, that good stuff with my plans, is God's goodness in there? Is God's righteousness in there? And is God's truth in that action, in that motive, and all the plans, etc., that I have in my heart? And so we are starting to have a bit of a guideline of how to evaluate our thoughts, how to evaluate our plans that we have, how to evaluate these things. Now, let me quickly let's go back first of all. In Jesus speaks in Mark, and he says in Mark chapter 9, Luke chapter 9, and remember that we're speaking about find out what pleases. So the emphasis is upon us to find out, from us to search, for us to discern, for us to spend the time to be able to discover, Lord, this is what pleases you. So again, it's a personal journey in our lives to really want to walk as children of light. And Jesus speaks to the disciples, and he says in Luke chapter 9, after they're having a bit of a discussion on who will be the greatest, etc., and there's a lot of opposition to him. And so there in verse 57, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Very interesting. And Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." And Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." So, I think Jesus, remember Jesus is truth. He is the way. He is life. And so he doesn't say something to try and powder coat it and sugar coat it and put it all very nicely so that, let's follow Jesus. Jesus is the truth, and he says to the guys, listen over here. This man said, "I will follow you wherever you go." Now, if you and I are wanting to know our destiny, we are wanting to know our purpose in God. If you're not prepared to follow Jesus, don't even ask. Don't even ask. Okay? Because our purpose and our destiny is all linked to the reality that is in Christ, and we need to follow Jesus. So many people are curious. Many people want to know. And this is important as you disciple people, because many people run off to prophets all over, always wanting to know the will of God, will of God, will of God, will of God. And they spend all the time wanting to know the will of God and do all the stuff to find the will of God, but they're not prepared to follow Jesus. There's a big difference in wanting to know and following. Our destiny, he is the way. You see, our destiny is in him. He is the way. So if we wanted to know what God has planned for our lives, it's all linked to the reality of us following Jesus. Okay, so that's important. So he says, "I will follow you wherever you go." And then Jesus replies, he said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Second point. Here, if we are serious about wanting to know why we exist, if we are serious about understanding our reason for existence, and once we know our reason, we then know the purpose, because we want to live out that reason, which is our purpose. If we're serious about this, then Jesus says, follow him. Secondly, the reason and purpose is linked to the kingdom of God. So if we're not prepared to advance the kingdom of God and be involved in understanding we're in the kingdom, and everything about my life's purpose is connected to advancing the kingdom of God, don't waste your time. You see, don't pretend. Don't, because when you receive a prophetic word, for instance, when you receive, God opens up and you know this is something that God is saying, and we don't use that. That which we have received is taken away from us. Okay? We see that in the parable of the talents. We see that Jesus speaks about the secrets of the kingdom have been given to you, but not for them. The more you receive the secrets of the kingdom, the mysteries, the ways of God from the kingdom, the more will be given to you. Okay? So when this parable of the sower, we see the reality. We get something there, and all the worries of life and our motives and all that there, and we never live in the reality of our God-given destiny and purpose, because we caught up with that over there. So it's never fruitful. We never begin to see the multiplication, receiving more revelation now for the next phase, more revelation from God of what way, where He's leading now. So it's important when you are discipling people, this is to help us to make disciples. Because many, many will come and they all want to get born again, but then what happens? It's an incredible, Billy Graham's son, Franklin Graham, has just been there in Indonesia. And Indonesia is a communist country. Over 1,000 people gave their life to Jesus over a 2-day crusade. God is working. The powerful work of God all over the world is taking place. Okay? And so we need to know that they're going to come and, okay, now God, what? Now what? Now what? That's why we make disciples. So we need to help them. They want to understand the will of God. You've got, they need to understand they've been taken out of the dominion of darkness. You've got to explain to them. You've got to help them understand what it is. They were once in darkness, now they're in light. What does it mean? You've all been taught, so you know how to do it. Now you can begin to share with them the incredible way. Okay, now you're wanting to really find reason and purpose in life. Well, you're in the kingdom now. So your reason and purpose in life will be all connected to the kingdom. Whether it's sports or whether it's engineering or whether it's in the medical, that makes no difference. It's connected to the reality of advancing the kingdom of God. Your purpose in life is connected to the fact that when Jesus says follow Him, you will follow Him. And that's where many get stuck, because it's going to cost a total surrender. It's going to cost giving up my agenda. It's going to cost the reality of me living and the reality that I've died with Christ and that I no longer live, but the life I now live in this body, I live by faith in Him. He lives within me. So it's going to be that reality. So my dreams and all those kind of things that I may be having, it's going to cost that laying it down and say, but Lord, what have you got for my life? Okay. I receive that. Okay. Okay. So understand there that Jesus says to the guy over here, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit. It's that word fit is ready for service in the kingdom of God. You're not fit. You're not in a position to be involved in advancing the kingdom of God because you're still so distracted by everything over there. You're not seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So you're not fit. So if we are worldly minded, if we're still so concerned about our life in this world and our plans and all our pleasure, etc., then one is not fit to be able to walk out and to live out the fullness that God has for our lives, because it's to follow Him and it's about His kingdom. Okay, so these are foundational truths that God has, that we need to first understand before we go further. So when we go back and we see over the months and months and months when the Holy Spirit started to show us and teach us about what does it mean to have died with Christ? How do we come free of the power of sin? How do we now begin to live with the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? How do we begin to experience the new law where now my desires are linked up to the Holy Spirit's desires? All of these things have been preparation for you and I to begin to the place where we say, Lord, now, thank you. You've been sharing with me. Yes, Lord. And we can begin to take a next step into your chapter of your book and the story of God's story for your life and my life. So we go and we read then Acts 17 verse 28. And Paul is there amongst the Corinthians over there, and he speaking, there's all these idols and all these philosophers, and then he says to the guys over there, yes, in Him we move. In Him we live. In Him we have our being. So you can see he's summing up what we're speaking about. In Him we live. He is our life now. So my destiny, my purpose, everything about what God has prepared in advance for you and I to do, it's all in Christ Jesus, who came to redeem us from that being captured by sin and the devil, now it's in Christ, we live in Him. I've got to know that. I've got to get to that place where I realize, but Lord, my life's in You. My life's in You. There's a grace. There may be the struggle, there may be all the things and all that over there, but there's a grace upon us to be able to, Lord, I'm willing, and I'll say yes to You. And what does God say to Paul? My grace is sufficient. Remember grace? It's another way of putting grace. It's the incredible divine power, God's ability, God's help, enabling us to be able to live what God has called us to do. Remember, grace reigns through righteousness. So now as we begin to understand what righteousness was all about, and we receive that gift, we realize there's a grace that's reigning that is enabling me now to be able to live out what God has called me to do, my real, real God-given purpose in life. There's a grace, the empowerment of God, the power of God enabling us where we cannot do it. Okay, and that's why we stay in that realm of grace all the time, so that we can walk out. Yes, we will sin, we will do all these things as we go on over there, but we've learned the power of the blood of Jesus. We've learned the reality of how to renew our mind. All these things God has been teaching up for me, for a long time, coming together now. So in Him we live, we move, we have our being. So we move, it's our function. Our life is in Him. So now the good works, He in us, it's the function of our lives, whatever it may be. Okay? Now, we have our being, that's our identity in Him. So I'm not looking for my identity in people's opinions. I'm not looking for my identity because I've been rejected all my life and now I need to have all these schemes. I'm not looking for my identity in that. No, 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 no. I have my identity in Jesus Christ. See, that's where the Holy Spirit comes. Now as we go on, another very important foundational truth, Romans 8. And we read over there, let me get Romans 8. And we know the scripture so well in verse 28. And Paul writes over there, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that Jesus, He might be the firstborn among many brothers. So here's an amazing truth. You want to know the bigger picture of your destiny? To be conformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. We don't grasp that, we're going to struggle, because we will resist. Because what takes place now when we hear Jesus say, come and follow me, and we respond and we begin to follow Him, many will say, now I've got to resign from this work, now I've got to do this, now I've got to do that. No, 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 no. Your very workplace is probably the place that God is going to be using to conform us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. You're going to learn patience. You're going to learn forgiveness. You're going to learn not to take offense. You're going to learn how to love. You're going to learn how to pray. You're going to learn how to live as light in that place that you want to escape from. We are conformed. We be destined to be conformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. So that you've got to understand when we're starting to look at the reason of our existence. We've got to understand the bigger picture of God's involvement in our lives as we go on this journey of, yes, Lord, I'm going to follow You. Yes, Lord, I'm following You. Thank You. We need to understand that what all that's taking place, all things are working out for the good for those who love God. And all these things that are working out, all of these things God is using to enable us to become more and more like His Son, Jesus Christ. As He is light, we are light of this world. It's Him in us. So, I listened to a guy and I thought he had a good point. he was sharing, this guy's he's in the prophetic ministry, and this a guy came to him and just blasted him for I don't know how long about him being this and this and that and that, and he blasted, and eventually this guy said, okay, he took out, I think it was $20, and he said, let me pay you. And this guy was so offended. What do you mean? I don't work for you. And this guy says, of course. You've been working so hard in producing Christ-like in me. I need to pay you for your work. See, maybe our spouses, God is using to let us become more like Christ. See? People all just want divorces instead of realizing, but God, you are teaching me to become more like you. We need to disciple the believers in all area of life. You can't pray for the rapture to escape your difficult, our difficult situations. That difficult situations, all things work out for the good. Be being conformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Important foundational truth in understanding when I say, yes, Lord, that which you have written in your book for me, I choose that. Got to know what's going to be taking place on the journey of day by day, moving more and more into why you live and the reason for and the purpose of living. So that's important. Remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, 18, and 19, where we speak about the new covenant and the glorious ministry of the Holy Spirit. What is poured out there? As we behold the incredible glory of Jesus face to face, we are being conformed into His likeness. When we want to follow Jesus, we keep in step with the Holy Spirit. And the new covenant ministry of the Holy Spirit is to conform us into the likeness of Jesus. Glory to glory. Okay. So please understand that otherwise, why this is important, because when we have pressure in the workplace, whatever there, it is so, so, so easy and tempting to step out of our God-given destiny, to choose the easy way. And not realizing this is important because it's shaping me, helping me with my character, with everything, so that I can live into the fullness of my destiny. So many, many believers take the shortcut. It's too hard. And they miss out their God-given destiny. Because no, they don't realize God is working and preparing you to be able to walk into more and more and more of what God has for our lives. Important when you're discipling people. No quick fix in destiny, eh? It takes years, years and years to be transformed and conformed. It takes years to unlearn and to get truth where we have got some form of wrong thinking in our lives. It takes years to do that. On Friday, it was an interesting time as we were praying, and one of the things that God showed was a tightrope, and we got to move further into our God-given destiny. The tightrope is very important, because we cannot carry all our baggage across that tightrope. We will fall over. We have to put all our baggage and say, Lord, yes, we can, we cannot put our safety helmets on this tightrope. We have to have the helmet of salvation on, not our safety helmets to protect us from our fears and protect us from all our stuff. No, 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 no. All of that must go as we walk with Jesus on a narrow road and a narrow tightrope further into our destiny. So sometimes it may feel quite lonely on the tightrope with Jesus, but he's with us. And there are times now in our destiny where you will find certain networks, certain relationships, God will start to set free. I'm not talking about marriage, I'm talking about things that we're involved with. And God will start to release us and set us free so that there's a focus now. Sometimes we're doing something because it's just something that because of relationships. And now here's a time to move into the next phase of our destiny. There are certain things that we've got to allow God to help us to be released, and there are certain other things that we've got to connect to, other networks and things like that, other people that will help us in these things. So just take note of what God is busy doing in our lives. So in Philippians chapter 2, it's one of those incredible truths that are so, so real for us right now. In Philippians chapter 2, and here in verse, let's go verse 12. Again, it's about children of light shining as stars. And Paul writes there, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but how much more in the absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." Find out what pleases God. So here we see the way that God works, that it is the Holy Spirit who knows the mind of God. What is 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10 onwards speak about? See, these things God has revealed to us, it's in the mind of God by the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit knows the deep things in the heart and the mind of God. And it's the Holy Spirit that makes it known to you and I. Okay? So now we begin and we say, "Lord, thank you. I believe. And that's why faith is so important, because faith is being fully persuaded. I'm fully persuaded, God, that you have a plan. You've got a good plan. You've got a good purpose that is redeemed by the blood of Christ. And I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm no longer captive by Satan, because we don't like it, but John White said that the whole world is being taken by Satan. We don't realize that. He's the father of lies. So we believe in the illusion of Satan that this is what life's all about. This is my purpose. This is the reason for living. Okay, so I can choose whether I'm going to be a gangster or I'm going to pedophile, whatever it may be. That's fine. The whole world's been taken captive to believe his lie. We've been taken out of that. We're now in light. Now, it's fascinating. We see how the Holy Spirit works, who knows the very thoughts, who knows the plans that God has for you and I. Now, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. A powerful thing of the Holy Spirit. And so we begin to identify, as we walk in light, we begin to recognize a stirring within us. Begin to recognize the desire of the Holy Spirit. Sons are led by the Holy Spirit. We begin to recognize the Holy Spirit's desire is all the time. We find out what pleases God. The Holy Spirit's desire is all the time taking us that which pleases God. And you'll never bypass Jesus. So what pleases us may contradict what pleases God. It may please me to go and do whatever I want to do, but that does not please God, because it's not the truth found in Jesus. So find out. So now we begin to realize, Lord, thank you that you have given us the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. Holy Spirit, I rely on you to now guide me, to work within me as you've said you do. And I thank you that you're working within me that which is the will of the Father, that which is his purpose, that which is good and pleasing and acceptable in his sight. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So now we start to realize that. But I have died to my old self. The power of sin is broken. In Christ, I've been decreed righteousness. In Christ, I have received the incredible Holy Spirit's ministry of life that is in Jesus. So now my life is in Him. I move in Him. My identity is in Him. The Holy Spirit will stir within me that which is all in that realm of being in Jesus Christ. So I know the difference now. I know the reality of how to discover the will of God. It's only going to be found in Jesus Christ. Just recently, I think it was 20-something children from a school were rushed to hospital. I think it was in Mexico or one of those areas because they were playing the Ouija board. Now, the Ouija board, it's no difference to going to a Shangoma to consult the ancestors to understand, to speaking to the dead. The Ouija board is to contact the spirit of the dead. And that same thing. They were rushed to hospital because of the demonic activity that captured them. They were looking for purpose and playing around totally just so deceived. We in our civilized society, what do? We read the horoscopes. No difference. No difference. We're looking for our divine purpose in life by contacting the demonic realm that leads to death. Instead of God, your spirit will guide me. I have confidence in your ability to speak to God. I have confidence, Jesus, when you said, my sheep recognize my voice. I'm confident in that truth. I'm fully persuaded that God will guide me. Fully persuaded. Okay, we're rooted in Jesus, rooted in the fact that He is our life. We live in Him. We have our identity in Him. We have our function flowing out of His life within us. So recognize, so take stock as you begin to see. That's why Paul writes over here, but now how much more in my absence continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, find out what pleases God. Light, goodness, righteousness, truth. Don't be in the place where you're wanting to play around with darkness, and I can get closer and closer to the edge all the time. Don't be there. No. Have that fear of God in you that keeps you away from participating in darkness. Okay. You've got to help folk when you're discipling, because the young people, and we're going to, as we go on, you'll see God will help us to understand the difference between sin, transgression, and iniquity. Because those are the big things that prevent us from walking into the fullness of God. And particularly in the area of iniquity because of the bloodline. Okay, why can't we? We have to deal with these things. And that we will get on as we continue. Maybe next week or the week after. But here's a foundation that we need to just lay down. So that we are just at the unlocking. Now in 1 John chapter 1, let's go there quickly. 1 John chapter 1. And I'm reading here in verse 5. This is a message we have heard from Him and declare to you, God is light and there is no darkness at all. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness, darkness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our lives. Here's a profound truth about the will of God for our lives. It's in the light. It's light. When we pray, "Thy kingdom come," when we pray and we ask God, "Manifest your kingdom," where's the starting point? It's in your heart. His kingdom, we are in the kingdom of light. So when we begin and we realize, "God, we're asking for your kingdom to manifest," the first area it's going to be manifesting is within you. And so what happens with light? Light exposes darkness. So guess what's going to take place? "God, your kingdom, you are light. I'm in the kingdom of light. I'm in the kingdom of light. And if I'm walking in darkness, that fellowship is not functioning as it ought to be functioning." Okay? Look what it says over here. "We lie and do not live by the truth." In other words, living is, what's my purpose? If I want to live in my purpose, I've got to live in the truth. God's truth about my purpose. If I'm fellowshipping with the darkness, then I will not be walking and living out God's truth for my life. Let's put an example like this. And you'll see, and we'll go deep into, we cannot neglect the Old Testament. When the Old Testament speaks about adultery, and it speaks about the death penalty for adultery. In the New Covenant, it hasn't changed. We don't put people to death, but now there's a demon. The spirit of death now is upon that person. These are the things that are very real when it comes to walking in the light. All these things, we'll go further as we go on in this journey to get free of all this stuff. So now a good starting point will be for our lives is Jesus. "Here, your kingdom of light within me, I want you to expose all the hidden secrets. I want you to reveal the darkness that's still hidden inside of me. You want me to come to the place where I can bring it into the light, confess my sin, and experience the purifying blood of Jesus that cleanses me from all unrighteousness, from all this darkness. So I want to bring it into the opening here, Jesus, as you made it known. I'm not going to have the family secrets. I'm not going to have the secrets. I'm going to come and be honest as you expose this darkness within me, because you want me to be delivered from that, because this darkness is hindering me from living out my truth." So many, 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 many believers, Christians, many times they would come and they would say, "Oh man, please help, please help, please help." So one of the first things I ask them is, "Are you sleeping with your girlfriend?" "Yes." "Are you sleeping with your boyfriend?" "Yes." "You a born again believer?" "Yes." And now they want to walk in the purpose of God, and they're captured by darkness. They cannot walk out their truth. See, now that could be a sin, or it could be a transgression. We will get to that. Or it could be because of the iniquity in the bloodline, because their parents and their ancestors all committed adultery, and it's in the bloodline. These things are real. So now help the folk that you're discipling, guys. We have been born, we are in the realm where Satan has taken us captive, and that God in His grace let His light shine into our hearts so that Satan who had blinded us, we are no longer blinded to who Jesus Christ is. But within me, in my soul dimension, not my spirit, my soul dimension, there are still areas that have darkness in it. And I need you to shine your light in those areas so I can be set free. I can walk in the truth. So where there's areas of offense or unforgiveness, where there's areas of things that we don't realize that we have done, what, and God starts to shine it into our lives, all of a sudden now He's bringing it into the light so that the blood of Jesus, we can appropriate the blood of Jesus and find the victory, find what it is to be set free. You thought it is easy to, it is easy if it is not our own opinion of what our will is. If we follow Jesus, we won't be disobeying the word of God and get caught up with all this stuff. Okay? That's why Jesus said right in the beginning, as I said right in the beginning, don't come and say, God, I want to know your will if I'm not prepared to follow Jesus. Don't come and say, God, I want to know your will if I'm not prepared to recognize, but Lord, my life is in you. You are the truth about my life, and I want your spirit to reveal what you say about me. I want to live that out. Yes, Lord. See, and that's a day-to-day walk, and that's where grace reigns. So for many of us, I think all of us can testify where we're recognizing that God is doing something in our lives. We're finding the power of grace working. We're finding the blood of Jesus is purifying us from these things that held us in captivity, that sidetracked us from really living. Man, God is loving us, and He's just helping us to be able to be set free. Jesus came to set the captives free. Okay? And so our destiny, our purpose, our reason, all of that, Christ came to set it free from being captured by sin. And because it was captured by sin, we were under the control of Satan to do his will. The blood of Jesus. So we can carry on, but I see time is gone. Because we need to look at the angelic realm that helps. But we'll stop over here and we'll continue next week in understanding the ministry of the angels that help us in our destiny. Not alone, but today is a day of Lord, yes or no. Today's a day where I'm fully persuaded that, Lord, what you have for my life is the best for my life. Today's a day where I get to the place where I replace my truth with Jesus' truth about my life. Today's a day where I can let go from my life. And you may say, but what, this is what I've done, this is my past, blah, blah, blah. No, 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 no. Find the truth in Jesus of what He has done. And live out the truth in Jesus, what He has done for our lives and what He has done concerning our past. Live in His incredible life. In Him we live. And so today is a day where God wants to just set free from anything that you may have coming up and like in your face, and the desire of God is working within you to God, that I know this is burning within me, this is what you're showing me, this is your will in my life, but this enemy comes up and blah 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 blah. Confess it. Come, Jesus. Yes, I admit, I'm acknowledging, I'm not pretending, I'm not denying the fact that yes, this is what I've done. And I want to thank you, Jesus, that your blood has taken care of that. I receive your gift of righteousness. I receive the fact that the fruit and the rewards of your obedience, your righteousness, I receive by faith, and I thank you. So Satan, stop your deception. The blood of Christ has washed me clean. The enemy stands all the time to accuse us. We overcome the accuser by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We are testifying what Christ has done for us, and that's our testimony, what Christ has done. Okay, walking in the truth. And bit by bit, we start to see how God takes us further and further and further. So guys, some of you this morning may be in the place where you know one chapter of your life is closing, and you're now entering into a new chapter of God's purpose for your life, grace is sufficient. Hold on to Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Fellowship with him. He's not lost. He's the victorious one. King of kings, Lord of lords. He knows. He knows what he's done, how he's redeemed us. Let's live in that. Okay. Amen. So enjoy communion this morning, because that's the time of just responding to how the Holy Spirit has spoken in our lives. So Father, thank you. Thank you so much for your love in creating man first of all. But we want to thank you that before creation, Christ was slain. We want to thank you that the answer is found in Jesus. We want to thank you, Father, for a life where we can testify your grace came through. Many of us weren't even seeking. Many of us weren't have no interest in you at all. But then we begin to experience you working in us, awakening a spiritual hunger within us, awakening a desire to realize, there's something about you, God. And we want to thank you that you press through. And so we understand your grace, your involvement. What a miracle in taking us out of the reality of darkness. Nothing's impossible with you. Nothing, nothing. And how you rescued us from the dominion of darkness through your Son Jesus' blood. He's redeemed us. We belong to you. We're your property. And how you've redeemed us, Jesus. So we celebrate as we eat here, and we want to celebrate that our God-given destiny, the very reason for our existence and the purpose, the function, all of this has been redeemed by your blood. And today we want to receive. Today we want to come to you and we want to say, thank you, Jesus, that once again, we don't have to live the destiny of our mistakes. We don't have to live the destiny of our parents and our ancestors and the consequences of them. We don't have to live bound by that. We don't have to live by the destiny of politicians or people or systems, all of these things. Because Jesus, you have overcome this world, and in you we've been raised, seated with you. We are a new creation in you. The old is gone. So I speak as we have communion, I declare that the old has gone. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. The new has come in Christ. Our old life has gone. Our new life in Christ is here. But it's up to us to receive as individuals. And that's our choice. So we want to thank you for how you are leaning forward to give us the faith that we need to believe, to give us the understanding to understand in Christ that I don't have to live any longer with those bad memories, with that past. No, no, no. Today, Lord, that's breaking as we simply receive by faith and say yes to you and know that it's about you, following you, and advancing your kingdom. Lord, I'm asking, Father, that not only for us here, but for our whole community in this nation. Father, that in your grace, you will take us out of a church destiny and bring us into a kingdom destiny of understanding kingdom and not having identity in church, but in you, Jesus, the King of Kings. So thank you for what you were doing in this nation of ours, in setting us free, taking out of that exile and bringing us into the promise, Father, in your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you. So we eat together with you, Jesus, celebrating. Today it's a celebration. The power of your sacrifice. The power of your broken body. The power of your blood. Thank you. You may want to just receive this morning. The angels are ministering, but you are to take and receive what they want to share, what they want to impart in our lives. Hebrews 1:14, that the angels, the messengers of God, are sent, they are spirit beings sent to minister to all those that are receiving eternal life. Today they are involved. Receive. But receive because you mean, yes, Lord, my old self has been crucified. I'm in you, Jesus, here now to bring glory to the Father. Holy Spirit, I'm asking that those fears that are shouting so loud here in our thought life, where the enemy is bringing lies to say no, what you have is better than what it is to follow Jesus. What you have is better than what it is to take what He has for your life. And I just speak and I break that noise right now in the name of Jesus, and I release the ministry of Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to set our minds free. And in that reality, Jesus, thank you for having your head of salvation, your helmet of salvation, in you our salvation, in you we live and move and have our being. So we thank you for that. Thank you that you're going to show us how to pray for our children. We want to thank you that you're going to show us, when it comes to adopted children, on how to pray for them. Lord, this is your heart for all of us to know what life is all about. And so today we receive this and we thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.